Morning. Today's daf in Gittin is Tess Zion. We are on the very bottom of Tess Vav Amid Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zechon Ishmasli with Gabriela Bashmuel. We started the second parak of the Masechta yesterday. Let's just quickly review the Mishnah. Maybe get me Medina Sayam. The Mishnah taught us, the first Mishnah of the second parak, that when you bring a get from Medina Sayam, v'amar v'fanenechtav v'lo b'fanenechtam, b'fanenechtam v'lo b'fanenechtav. So the first case of the Mishnah, very simple. You did not say b'fanenechtav and b'fanenechtam. It's required to say both. There is a special takana, like I mentioned yesterday, like we talked about in the beginning of the Masechta. A special dispensation that the Chachamim provided that one person can certify the document. Normally you need two witnesses to certify a document. Here you're doing so on the testimony of one witness. The Chachamim made such an allowance in order to avoid the problem of aguna. And so therefore his statement will validate, but his statement has to have two components to it. He has to say b'fanei nechtav and b'fanei nechtam. So the first part, the first point the Mishnah is making is that saying one of those two statements is not simply going to be insufficient. B'fanei nechtav kulo, b'fanei nechtav chetzio. Let's say that the whole thing was written in front of me, but then he admits, honestly, that only one of the two signatures signed in front of him. B'fanei nechtav chetzio, b'fanei nechtam kulo. Let's say he admits that half of it was written in front of me, although the two signatures were signed in front of me. So possible in those cases as well, it's not going to be possible because, again, in order to activate the special dispensation of the Chachamim, he has to be there for the total writing of the get and the total signing of the get. Meaning he has to be present for the for both parties when they signature, when they sign. Echad amar b'fanei nechtav, echad amar b'fanei nechtam, possible. One person says b'fanei nechtav, the other person says b'fanei nechtam, that's going to be no good. Because once again, in order to activate the special dispensation, you have to have one person seeing both. So even though you have two people, and oddly enough, one is saying b'fanei nechtav, and the other one saying b'fanei nechtam, that's not going to be good. Now, if two people say b'fanei nechtav, and then you have a third person, and he says b'fanei nechtam, it was signed in front of me. So that will be no good. Rav Yehuda Machshir, Rav Yehuda would allow such a scenario. Now, finally, the Mishnah brings a case where everyone's in agreement that one person says b'fanei nechtav, and then two others say b'fanei nechtam. So that would be fine. And the reason will be, and this will be a big part of today's daf, is because ultimately, when all said and done, two people now are validating the signatures, and so therefore it's going to be good. Well, we'll talk more about that later on. All right, the Gemara we did already, at least the first part of the Gemara. Just wanted to review the Mishnah, get us familiar with the Mishnah before we discuss. So the Gemara yesterday, the first question we dealt with already, I'll just simply summarize. We already saw this in the first Mishnah, why are we repeating this now in the second parak, the first Mishnah, the second parak, answers the Gemara that with only the first Mishnah, the first of the Masechta, I might have thought that this is a din lechatchila, this is not a ma'akev, it's not going to ruin the get, it's not going to disqualify the get. No, if you don't say b'fanei nechtav and b'fanei nechtav, so then it's going to disqualify the get. The other point that we went over is how much of the writing do you need to be there for? The Gemara conceded that you don't have to be there for the entire ksiva. You must be there just for the shita achas. That's all you need to be. When the Mishnah says that you weren't there for the entire writing, what the Mishnah means is that you weren't there for shita achas. What exactly is shita achas? So yesterday I quoted Rashi. It's the first Rashi in the Gemara. Rashi says that it's the first line where the name of the man and the woman and the date are being recorded within the get. The important information, right? The personal information, I should say. Okay. We are now on the bottom of the Amud. We're starting out b'fanei nechtav kulo, b'fanei nechtav chetzio pasul. Okay. Amar Rav Chisda. Okay, so now we're going to start off with a number of chidushim. Here's what we know from the Mishnah. We know from the Mishnah that we can't combine. Two people are saying it was written in front of me. One person is saying it was signed in front of me. The Mishnah says no good. Can't combine those two. I'm Rav Chisda va'afilu shnei midam al chasim asiyat sheni pasul. Rav Chisda says that I'm going to tell you how possible this is. Let's say that I have two people being prepared and ready to testify about the two signatures. Rashi, I'm Rav Chisda. Lav lefurushi masnisa nas. Now, excuse me. Rashi points out that Rav Chisda is not saying pshat within the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying it's halacha. Rav Chisda is saying a different halacha, and ulokuma masisim ba'achi, ela svaridi de mosif, v'amarabusa. Rav Chisda is saying a chiddush, and it's going to be, as the Gemara itself is going to acknowledge, a really big chiddush. That filu shleim in a shuk meidim sheim akirin yad aid chasima sasheni shelo aid ashlech el apostle. I'm sorry. Shelo aid ashlech alav apostle. The scenario goes like this: you have one person bringing the get from Medina Sayyam. And this one person says, "Befani nechtav," or in the case of the Mishnah, whatever. Let's leave the Mishnah out of this discussion. Let's just keep it within the realm of Rav Chisda. He comes along and he says, "Befani nechtav," the get was written in front of me, and he says one of the signatures was signed in front of me. Okay. Then two people come and testify about the other signature. Rav Chisda says that's not good. That's not going to work. Okay, why? Now let's go back to the Gemara. Now we certainly understand the Chiddush. Why? Why should that be? So v'afilu shnayim meidim achasim esyachini pasul my taima okilu okul b'kim aget okulu b'takanas chachamim. So Rav Chisda says, look, we're talking about the authentication of the signatures. We're validating the document. Okay, the chachamim generally demand that two witnesses testify over the two signatures. That is what's classically. That is how classically Kiyum Shtar is done. Then our Mishnah taught us in the beginning of the Masech, and we're reviewing now, is that there's another path that we can go down, and it's a special dispensation that provides an allowance for one witness to come and to say B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechta. What Rav Chisda is saying is, it's either or. It can't be and. You're either going to go with the classic Kiyum Shtar of two witnesses testifying over the signature, or you're going to go with the special dispensation of having one testify about both. But what you can't do is you can't combine the two. One witness is going to be validated by the one shliach who says b'fanei nechtav. The other witness is going to be validated by two edim who say, we recognize and are familiar with that signature. We know that signature is good. What you're now doing is you're trying to piecemeal together two different methods of document certification, and Rav Chisda says it cannot combine.
But if they were testifying on both signatures, it would be fine.
No, yes. Yes.
So one person said on the ksiva and two on the signatures.
Correct. Said. Correct. So the so Maskev La Rava. So Rava says this is a hard chiddush to imagine, because Mika Mida Dilo Amar Chad Kasha. Imagine for a moment that one person said it was kosher. One meaning, of course, the shliach. If the shliach himself says, "Oh yes, I recognize it," so we learned already in the first paragraph. She reminds us that if the shliach himself says yodea ani, meaning I'm familiar with it, so of course we're going to believe him. So if the shliach himself would have said it's kosher, hashadika trei pasul. So now, can you imagine that now we have more than one? We have another two. And it's going to be pasul. So Elam Rava. So Rava is not going to buy into Rav Chisda's chiddush. Now, still, by the way, Rav Chisda obviously disagrees. Rav Chisda will tell you, "Yeah, that's correct. For me, it's not a numbers issue. For me, it's there are two different paths to go down. You're either going to take this path or you're going to take that path, but you can't combine the two." So Rav Chisda's not. It does not seem like Rav Chisda is going to back down from his position, although Rava challenged it. Elam Rava Afilu Hu. So Rava now is going to provide what his own chiddush, but however it's going to be somewhat muted from the previous chiddush, and that will be as follows: the shliach and somebody else from the market goes along and says that we're going to testify the on the second signature. So now. My time, Asalach Lufibikim Shars Alma. The Kanafik Nechi Riva de Mamona Pumadechatzada. So the Gemara says that's not going to be good. And I'll tell you why, says the Gemara. I'm sorry, Rav says, and I'll tell you why. Because let's go over now what just happened. What just happened is that I had the first signature being validated by the Shliach. Because he said Befanenechta, at least on the first signature. Good. First signature now taken care of. Second signature. Now the second signature was not signed in front of this shliach, but he knows it. He's aware of that second signature. He's familiar with it. But he didn't actually see it being signed, so he can't say the word, b'fanei nechtam, but he can at least testify that, yeah, I know that signature is a valid signature. So he's going to do it, but like all Kiyum, it has to be done with two witnesses. So now he, together with somebody else, is going to testify over the second signature. Okay, Rava says that's no good. And now we're going to introduce ourselves to a concept which we already saw back in Ksuvos, but we're going to now go over it again, and that's the following. Why is that no good? Because now the document with the two signatures on the bottom of the document is being certified by two witnesses, but here's the problem. The first signature is one witness is taking full responsibility for the first signature, and then as far as the second signature, he is half responsible for validating the second signature. So now let's take 50%, add another 25% to that, and now what do you have? 75%. 75% of the validation of the document is now going to be taken, is going to be burdened by one person, and the other person is going to be responsible, obviously, for 25% of the document. So with all that stated, we have a problem where you don't have an equitable distribution of the validity of the document resting on the two witnesses. It's a lopsided 75-25, 75% to one, 25% to the other witness, and that, the Gemara says, is no good. Look at Rashi.
The second person then comes, only the agent said, on the second I recognize it.
That's not enough. In other words, his... because he wasn't there for the signature. So he can't say Befanai Nechtam. He can say, I know it. I know, but it's not enough. In other, this special dispensation demands that he be there for the signature.
But doesn't that then recognize two witnesses if they recognize a signature?
Yes, but the problem now is that, generally speaking, how it works is that these two people are going to testify. Now, it could be one over one signature, one over the other. Or they're both going to testify over both signatures. Here, the problem now becomes it's lopsided, because the first signature is being validated through the mechanism of Befanai Nechtam. The second signature now is being authenticated by this guy who knows the signature, plus somebody else. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Kigon shnei mechasim al ashtar umeis echad mehem uvazev amar zek sav yadi vezek sav yado shel chaveri v'nitzarf echem neshuk imo la'ida sav yad hameis." I mean, preparing based exuvas de enu kiyam achu beiz menashuk meidim al chosam hameis. So the case over there in Ksuvos, where basically I need two witnesses from the market. The problem now is, in the case over there in the Gemara in Ksuvos, is that where one of the signatures is being validated by one, and that same person now is validating the other signature, now he's taking the burden of 75%, and that's no good. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Ksuvos. Neman adam lomar zek sav yadi, hare chatzi edus ve'im ba'li tzarv lahid al-chosem chaveri im acher, hare gimel revias ha'edus al-piv rachmana amar al-pishnayim. The Torah's demand for witnesses is on the back of two, right, or on the mouth of two. Paga apumidahai o paga apumidahai. And the assumption is that when the Gemara says two, it means that it's an equitably shared distribution of testimony, where half of it is coming from one and the other half is coming from the other. And here comes the problem now. In the case of the get itself, it's fine. It's fine. One person's fine. The problem is that when somebody is going into court that day, and he's looking and he's seeing, hey, that's interesting. He's testifying about the first signature by himself. He then is testifying about the second section with somebody else. Oh, I see. So it's the first signature fully on him, that's 50%. And then he's half responsible for the second signature, that's another 25%. Oh, it must be that in general, a 75-25 breakdown between the two witnesses must be fine. And then the person's going to walk away, and the next time any other monetary document is going to be validated, he'll think that the 75-25 breakdown would be fine. So that's why Rava says it's not going to work. Maskev la Ravashi. Ravashi challenges this as well. We are on Tezvav Amid Beis. We're four lines down. Mika midadila masik laihu lekule dibur kasher hashadika chad bahade pasul. Such an oddity. And right, and Phil, you were basically you previewed this question. How can that be? Where if this one witness acted on his own. And totally on his own, he would have been believed. And meanwhile, he's now going to be in conjunction, working in conjunction with somebody else, and now he's not going to be believed. Very difficult to accept. Ela Amar Rav Ashi. So now we have the third chiddush. Now, so far we've had Rav Chista, we've had Rav, and now we're going to have Rav Ashi. Afilo Omer Anihu Eid Sheni Pasol. If he says that he is the Eid Sheni, so it's not going to be good. My time, I'll kula b'kiyum aged or kula b'takanas chachamim. So because again, you either have to use the method of kiyum aged or you have to use the takanas chachamim, the special dispensation. But the special dispensation demands that you say, b'fanai nechtam, it was signed in front of me, not I'm the one who signed it, but the special dispensation is only when it's signed in front of you. Okay, Adkan. So, in terms of the ability to combine the Takana de Rabbanan together with the classic Kiyum Shtar, so we have three opinions amongst the Amoraim, Rav Chista, Rava, and Rav Ashi. Okay, Rav Chista representing the biggest Chiddush, and Rava and Rav Ashi scale back in terms of what their Chiddush is, and certainly Rava and Rav Ashi don't agree with Rav Chista, and it certainly seems like Rav Ashi doesn't agree with Rava. With all that stated, let's continue now in the Gemara, and now finally we turn our attention back to the Mishnah. Tanan b'fanei nechtav kula b'fanei nechtam chetzio pasul. The Mishnah scenario was that the entire thing was written in front of me, and only one signature was signed in front of me. The Mishnah says it's pasul. Now, ida chetzio hechidami. So, ilam etikam masir alav klal hashta echeromer b'fanei nechtav echeromer b'fanei nechtam dahayka masada kula ksiva v'hayka masada kula chasima pasul chetzio mibaye. Now, the Gemara says, do you really think that the Mishnah is giving us the simple scenario of the Mishnah is where he comes forward and he says, you know, the whole thing was written in front of me, and you know that only one witness was signed in front of me. The other witness, I got nothing to say about the other witness. Do you really think that's the case in the Mishnah? If he's got nothing to say about the other witness, then obviously it's so pashut that wouldn't work. We don't have anything, any comment about the other witness. Obviously, we have nothing to work with over here. So that can be the case in the Mishnah. So Ella, so the Gemara says, admittedly, ikidarava o kidaravashi, ula afuki midarav chista. It must be where that somebody else was testifying over the other signature. Either you could say like Rava, or you could say like Ravashi. So, but the Gemara says, but to plug Rav Chista into the Mishnah, that would be very difficult. Now again, what was Rav Chista's point is that even if you had two other objective witnesses testifying over the second signature, so Rav Chista says that's no good. The Gemara says that's hard to imagine that Rav Chista's chiddush is encrypted in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, I don't know. So Rav Chista says, look, the Mishnah talked about a case where it was written in front of me, but he said nothing about the signature. I don't know. That wasn't signed in front of me. Why would the Mishnah even need to record such a case? Clearly, the Mishnah had a certain style about it, meaning we know that the Mishnahs were written stylistically. Okay, that's the Gemara hits this point again and again throughout Shas. So here as well, the Mishnah was written stylistically, and what the Mishnah is telling us is I'll tell you a chiddush. Now I'll tell you even a greater chiddush. Now I'll tell you even a greater chiddush. Now it's true that once you get to the third, fourth, fifth chiddush of the Mishnah, point number two, at that point in time is perfectly superfluous. We would have figured it out. And yes, it's true that the Mishnahs want to be incredibly economical when it comes to its words. And yes, it's true. The Mishnah generally is frugal. But there's a style of the writing of the Mishnah, and sometimes that Mishnah will build one Chiddush on top of another, on top of another. Rav Chista will tell you that's exactly what's happening. The Mishnah is generating a Chiddush, a bigger Chiddush, a bigger Chiddush. So, being that that's the case, it's plausible, says Rav Chista, that the Mishnah is not excluding my scenario. My scenario where I come in and I testify about one of the signatures. The second signature is now going to be substantiated, not by me, but by two others. So Rav Chista says that's no good. Why? because you can't mix and match. You can't mix the classic Kiyum Shtar together with the special dispensation of Mefanei Nechtam. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah is just simply building one point on top of another point. And don't be so critical in all the cases of the Mishnah. Okay, Adkan. All right, so what do we have over here? Three sheets amongst the Amoraim in terms of combining testimonies so that we can ultimately validate the signatures of the on the document. Okay, Rav Chista, Rava, Ravashi, and each one of them is the Rav Chista being the biggest chiddush and Rav and Ravashi being smaller chiddushim. Okay, let's continue. The Gemara now is going to go on a little bit of a detour. Because we have this idea now of Itztarfus, of taking two different mechanisms, each one by themselves would be valid, and combining them. So, is the sum greater than the parts? Sometimes yes, it's called teamwork. And sometimes, as we're just learning right now, no, it's not going to be good. So, because they're two different, they're totally different paths. So, from this point going forward, now the Gemara is going to try to discuss other scenarios and where we're going to combine different paths. The Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chista Gidur Chamisha Mechitza Chamisha Mitzarfim Achiu Okula Bemechitza Okula Begidur. So Rav Chista has another halacha where you cannot combine. We know that in Shabbos, in order to have a Rishus Ayachid, so it has to be an edifice which is 10 tefachim high and at least 4 by 4 tefachim wide. The beginning of the Masechta Shabbos, we discussed this at length. First 8 or 9 blot of the Masechta spends a lot of time talking about it, and it comes up again later on in the Masechta. Okay. The Gemara, but I'm sorry, you need an edifice of 10 tefachim. Now, it doesn't have to be, by the way, a building with an interior. It could be just simply a block. It could be, but in other words, but generally speaking, the way we envision Rosh Hashanah, like this room over here. This room is obviously 10 tefachim high, more than 10 tefachim high. 10 tefachim is about 30 inches off the ground. This is obviously much higher than that. And 4x4 tefachim, this room is obviously much bigger than 4x4 tefachim. This room is a Rosh Hashanah. It's obviously part of a bigger building. Okay, you understand. What if I have a ditch in the ground? If the ditch is 10 tefachim deep in the ground, that's for sure also going to be Rosh Hashanah. What if I have a hybrid? Where? The ditch is only 5 tefachim deep, and then I build a fence around it, that's 5 tefachim high. Can I take those two... can I take those two materials and from the interior, if I'm sitting in the middle, it looks 10 tefachim high. Can that now combine in order to make a Rosh Hashanah of 10 tefachim high? So Rav Chista, interestingly enough, says, no, it can't. Right? Tosos is bothered because there are a number of Gemaras and Shabbos that seem to indicate otherwise. But Rav Chista says you cannot. Okay, because what you're doing is you're combining. And in this case, we don't allow for the combining. But the Gemara points out that on this position, Rav Chista is not accepted. Darsh Marema, Marema got up there and he darshan publicly. Gidur Chamisha Mechitza Chamisha Mitzarfin Ve'elchazam Mitzarfin. The Gemara says that on Shabbos, if I have a ditch 5 tefachim deep with a fence around it 5 tefachim high, so that will combine to create a Rosh Hashanah. If I transfer from a Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah to such a Rosh Hashanah, so that I'm in violation of Shabbos. We know that in order to eat bread, so you have to wash your hands. The washing of the hands for bread is done with a netila. It's done with a cup. That as long as there is a revius of water within the cup, and you take that revius of water and you put it over your hands. Your hands now are tahor, and you now can go ahead and you can eat the bread. Or in the case of the kohen, eat the truma. Okay, until I say time, washing of the hands. Next question of the Gemara: can I wash the hands lichatzayim in halves? What does that even mean? So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we're doing is with one revius, and by the way, a revius is not a lot. A revius is somewhere approximately around 4 ounces of water. Hard to imagine. In other words, when we wash our hands, we're washing with a lot of water, right? Those washing cups that we have hold... More than 4 ounces. What was it? Whatever. 30 ounces? Whatever. It's a lot more. Anyway, so the but 4 ounces. I'm sorry, revius is all that you need, and v'tanan. And we're going to learn a mishnah together now from Masechta Yadayim. So tanan revius not lili yadayim lechav afil l'shtayim. You can have with one revius the successful washing of not just one person's hands, but two people's hands. Meaning, Rashi describes, you're going to have two people standing there, one on top of the other, or. No, they're standing next to each other. Each one is going to be putting out their hands. The hands are going to be basically one on top of the other. And now with the revius, they're going to pour the revius, and it's going to fall on one, it's going to fall over the other. And the Mishnah Yadayim says, that's fine. That's an acceptable form of washing.
You're not concerned about too much from one hand
going right.
To the
right. Right.
Yeah, the whole issue and, is about your own hand. It said that when you wash
right.
up, the Mishnah, the water
and it goes up,
down.
Right, and it goes up, and it comes so back down again. The Mishnah says it's fine.
Well, maybe it's talking about the next to each other. Not on top of each other, next to each other. On all four hands.
So Rashi? Abishir v'katsa mishir tarach and freshma. Chariyadeh. Okay. I'll look it up in the Mishnah. I think I'm presenting the Mishnah correctly. I'll double check.
How could it say that water is next to each other?
No, well, it could be next to each other.
Okay. Anyway, it's one on top of another.
Yeah. How can it be on top of another?
Maybe a tuma water of one person.
Okay. Anyway, I'll look it up again. So mevius not only yadan lechav afilu shtayim ve'ela dekamashi chada chadi yade. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we're talking about is that you wash one hand and then you wash another hand, kind of like what we do. So v'hatanana no tol yado achas benetila v'achas b'shtifa yadav taros. And the Mishnah in the Mishnah Yadayim says, well, that also would be fine as well. You wash one hand, and by the way, the Mishnah goes even one step further. We have it in our head that we wash with a cup. But obviously, that's a dispensation, that's an allowance. Meaning that the Chachamim, if we're really talking about Tahara, I mean we are, but if we're talking about Tahara from Tumah Midaraisa, there's only one thing that facilitates Tahara, and that's Mikvah. What you can do, although it's strange, and of course we don't do this, but what you can do is you can take your hands before eating bread, go to a mikvah, and actually dip your hands within the mikvah. That's going to be matar your hands. The washing with a cup is an allowance. It's a special dispensation for taharas hayadayim. So the Mishnah says that if you take one hand and you wash it with a cup, and you take your other hand and you dip in the mikvah, the Mishnah says that's fine. So once again, what are we even talking about? What's even the question? So Hanotah Yadam Tamasai Bach Bishtifa Yadav Taras. Me'ala de Kamashi Palga Diyade. So the Gemara says that, well, it could be that the question over here is revolving around the following. You wash half of one hand, you dry it. You wash the second half of the hand, that's the question. So we know that we have to wash our hands up to the up to the knuckles. Okay, machlokas, whether, you know, exactly where exactly in the hand we have to wash, but let's, for the time being, let's speak conceptually. Let's just imagine that we know exactly where we need to wash. We wash our hands, but only half a hand at a time. So the Gemara says that is no good. So the Gemara says we have a tradition from Raviana that that's simply not going to be good. So we know what's good and we know what's not good. Where's the question? So the Gemara says, "Latzricha di gamashka tofeach." So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you what the question is. You wash half of your hand, you don't fully dry it. There's still some moisture on the hand, and now you wash the second half of the hand. Can I say now that because the first half of the hand is not dry and there's still some moisture on it, so the washing of the second half of the hand can combine with the moisture on the first half of the hand in order to view the entire hand being washed? So the Gemara says this is a question of connection, using basically a base amount of liquid in order to create a connection. So the Gemara says, we know this already. So the Gemara says, but we have the following Mishnah. So this Mishnah Taharos describes the following. Let's say, I've done this before. I know. Let's say I take a kli, and this kli is tahor, and I pour it onto a kli on the bottom, which is tameh. And so now I have a stream of liquid. be careful. And I have a stream of liquid now going from here to here. And so that stream of liquid now, you can obviously envision that the tumah is going to, obviously the liquid down here is going to be tameh, and the tumah will creep up, crawl up the stream, and go into the cup and make all the liquid in the cup tameh. The cup itself, by the way, is not going to become tameh. Food is not metameh a kli, although maybe liquids are metameh a kli. I take it back. Anyway, The basic point is that you can envision the tumah going up. The Mishnah tells us don't envision it. The tumah is not going to go up. It's true regarding a stream. It's true regarding, Rashi describes, like, let's say you have a plank and you have water running down the plank. And let's say the water hits something which is tameh. So once again, you could envision the tumah going up this upstream. Again, don't envision it. It's not going to happen. And the same thing is true regarding a light amount of moisture. Where if I have, let's say, a light amount of moisture and I have something tummy over here, so the moisture is not going to transport the tumah across. All different things that do not communicate the tumah from one point to another point. This is a Mishnah in Taharas. So now if that's true, and that's not going to be true for tumah, and it's not going to be true for Tahara as well. So if let's say half my hand is washed, and I dried it, not totally, there's still a thin layer of moisture on the first half of my hand is still moist, and then I washed the second half, and I might have argued, well, I could take the moisture and the water and combine the two. The Mishnah says you cannot combine the two. So, with all that stated, where do we stand right now? We know what works and we know what doesn't work. So where is there a question? So the Gemara says, "Latzricha deika tofech lahatviach." So the Gemara says it's more than just a thin layer of moisture. The Gemara says is that basically it's dripping wet. Okay, so dripping wet meaning, Rashi describes that if I take my hand from this point on the table and I move it to this point of the table, you'll find liquid in both spots. Okay, so it's dripping wet. So the Gemara says, "Anami tani tafeh latfeh chibur." So the Gemara says, we know that's a connection. Dripping wet is considered a connection. So Dilma Leinyan Mikvahs Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe the connection of dripping wet has a limited application. The Gemara here quotes a Mishnah from Mikvahs. Hamikvah sheish barabayim sam mechuvanos v'yardu shneim v'tavlo. Let's say you have the following. You have a mikvah which has precisely and only 40 sa of water. The first person takes a dip in the mikvah, he's obviously fine. He dipped into a mikvah 40 sa. He comes out of the mikvah. That first person that's coming out of the mikvah obviously is carrying some water with him. Okay, there's the liquid is not, he doesn't come out dry. He comes out obviously dripping wet. And he is taking with him some of the mikvah. So we know that as he's coming out of the mikvah now is depleted of its sheer. Skip the parentheses. So the first one coming out of the mikvah, he's tower. The second one now who dipped into the mikvah is mechusar. Mikvah is missing. It doesn't have the shear, and therefore he's still tummy. Rabbi Huda Omri Mayer Raglav Shalvishon Nogos B'Mayim Afashini Tower. Now Rabbi Huda says the following. Let's say the first person didn't fully come out of the mikvah. His foot is still in the water. So with a toe in the water as he's coming out, the second person can legitimately tovel in the mikvah. Why? All the water that's on his body is still considered connected to the mikvah, and so you still have a kosher mikvah. That is Shitas Rav Yehuda in terms of mikvahs. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is that we know Rav Yehuda as it relates to mikvah, but maybe it has very limited application. Maybe it only applies within the world of mikvah, connecting the water on his body to the water in the mikvah in order to get to a shear of a mikvah kasha, or mikvah kshera. But not to make connection chiburin between the water that was on your hand with the water that's now in your hand, or the tumah over here to the tumah over there. Maybe in these halachas it won't create connectivity. Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Amr of Yirmiyah Hari Amr Haba Rosha Varuba Mamaim Shuavim Vatar Shenafla Rosho of Aruba Shoshaluga Maim Shuavim Tame. Shabbos. Right at the towards the end of the first perek of the Masechta, so we spend a lot of time there learning about Yud Ches Davar. There were 13. Okay. I apologize. I didn't have my coffee this morning. There are 18. It's true. There are 18 gzeiros that were enacted by Beis Shammai, and ultimately Beis Hillel capitulated to the Yud Ches Davar. And one and of them, two of them are bathing and showering in drawn water. Obviously, we know in order to be tall, you have to tell from the mikvah, and the mikvah must be naturally, organically collected rainwater. So if the water was put into any receptacle, right, a kli, a bathtub, so then obviously such water is not mei mikvah. It's not collected rainwater. It is mayim she'uvim. It's drawn water in a kli, and therefore it's possible for a mikvah. Back then, Rashi describes right here on the daf that back then the mikvahs were disgusting. Okay, we complain, by the way, and we have very little to complain about. That's just, you know, that's part of living in the 21st century. So back then the mikvahs were disgusting, and they were caves. They were basically whatever. It was a cesspool. So it was disgusting. So you go into a mikvah, and obviously as you come out of the mikvah, now you are from a tahara standpoint, you're pure. But from a aesthetic standpoint, from a hygienic standpoint, you could really use a shower. So what do? So you go take a shower. So fine. In of itself, that would have been fine. The problem back then is that people started to think, oh, you know what? Let's see. I was tamei. I told them the mikvah, and then I showered, and then I'm tahor. Oh, you know what? It's the shower. It's got to be. Because that mikvah, for sure, that mikvah no way can provide for me a tahor. Did you see that mikvah? It's disgusting. So the chachamim said, you know what? Biyom ha-mikvah, on the day that you go to a mikvah, so you cannot bathe afterwards. Now, originally Rashi describes that the gzera was only on a bath after the mikvah. A shower was an add-on gzera after that. Rashi over here describes that they had to extend the gzera because without the showering gzera, the bath gzera just wouldn't hold up. Okay, so these are two of the 18. So these are the gzeros that are described in the Gemara Shabbos. With all that stated as background, I'm Rav Yirmiya. Back to our Gemara, we're right in the middle of Tezayin Amud Aleph. Hari Amr Abba Rosh Verubo Bamayim Shuavim. You put your head in the majority of your body in drawn water. Vitar Shenafla Rosh Varubo Shosha Lugin, and you have somebody who's showering within three lugin of Mayim Shuavim Tami. In both of these cases, you are going to be tummy. Obviously, this is a tumah de rabbanan. Obviously, but you're going to be tummy for doing so. By Rav Yirmiya, chetsa bebi of a chetsa benefila mai. Let's say half bath, half shower. Okay, so in other words, so you are now half of your body is being bathed in the mayim she'uvim. The other half of your body now gets showered with the mayim she'uvim. So do they combine? Again, a question of it. Starfus, take with the Gemara, leaves this question unresolved. Next. Amra Papa Hare Amra Bal Kari Cholosh Anas No Lof Tishikab and Mayim Tahor. Ezra made the following takana. If a man had if a man's a Bal Kari, discharge is also going to work, but if I'm just, sorry. I had a brain freeze on Balkari. If a man had a Balkari, so Ezra was misakein that he cannot learn Torah until he tov in the mikvah, right? In general, the takanos of Ezra, which we're going to see later on. I think it comes at the end of Baba Kama. The takanos of Ezra are interesting. Most of them are generated around the idea that we need to populate. Meaning the Jewish people are small in number as they come back in to build Bayis Sheni, and so there needs to be an increase in numbers of the Jewish people. So you're going to find that a number of the Takanos of Ezra were there to basically incentivize the Jewish people to populate. This one is almost like counterintuitive. It's counter-thematic. This one is that the Talmid HaChachamim shouldn't be with their wives too much, so they should be focused and concentrated on learning Torah. And I know this takana goes in the other direction. Okay, so, but the basic idea is that a Talmid Chacham, anyone really, I'm envisioning the Talmid Chacham it's going to affect the most. You can't learn Torah after you're with your wife, which obviously is a mitzvah, but you can't learn Torah until you tov on the mikvah. That was Takanas Ezra. Okay. The Gemara in Brachos, right? The Chafal of Chafbeis discussed at length whether or not Takanas Ezra is still in force, and we know that it's not. There's a Hasidic minug to tov on the mikvah daily, but for the rest of us, we no longer hold by Takanas Ezra. Okay. With that stated, even Ezra understood that this is onerous. Meaning this idea that every time you're with your wife, you're going to have to tov in the mikvah, and you can't learn Torah until you tov in the mikvah, that's much. That's a lot. So there was a modified form of tefillah, which was allowed, which is called Tisha Kabin. Tisha Kabin is to have yourself being poured on top of you. Nine kabin of water, even the water is not mikvah water, even though it's Maim Shu'uvim, that would be fine, that would be sufficient, that would satisfy the enactment of Ezra. Obviously on a Torah level that doesn't make you tahor, but Ezra said for our purposes that would be enough. It's not a gzera. The Tisha Kabin is a takana. It's a means of remedying and rectifying. It's funny, today, over the course of today, we're, you know, the two unusual ways of Tahara. One is Netilas Yadayim, which we talked about earlier, and the second is Tisha Kabin, which was part of the Takana of Ezra.
Was it Takana or was it Oraita?
No, in Mina Torah, you are Tamei, you can learn Torah.
You can learn
Torah. Of course. The Gemara in Brachos says that Torah is not susceptible to any form of Tumah. There's no problem learning Torah while on the state of Tamei. This was done by Ezra so that basically the Talmid HaChachamim would be more focused on the learning.
The right was only for food and...
Right, for Kalim, food, right. So, going into the base of Mikdash. In fact, Rashi right here on the Daf writes that even after Tisha Kabin, Rashi says, you can't go into the base of Mikdash. Meaning, you're not really Tahor. It's just that this Tahara is going to satisfy Takanas Ezra. So now, the Gemara goes on to describe, so Chol Shenos Na'alav Tisha Kabin Mayim Tahor, Bayrav, Papa Chetzi, Betfil V'Chetzi, Benesina, Mai. So let's say that after being a Balkari, so half of your body goes into the Mikvah, the other half of your body has the application of Tisha Kabin. Again, same question. Hitzdarfus. Do they combine? And again, take what the Gemara says, I don't know. I'll let this question also is going to stand. Tish be yitar, it's kushos v'abayas. So let's go on. We're on the bottom of Tazayin Amad Aleph. Echad Amar Befana Nechtav, Echad Amar Befana V'chule, Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shanu el shena get yotze mitachis yidei shneihem. Let's say the following. Let's say that the two men are holding the get as they're delivering the get. Right? Rashi actually gives us a visual. It's a funny visual. Right? You could just have easily imagined that they were both designed and designated to be the shlichim. But Rashi over here says that they're both holding the get. I don't know if Rashi insists that this is a... this is an actual demand, but either way, right? Rashi says, "Shtaim adukim bo v'shtaim shluchim." They were both the designated messengers. So, avaget yosef mitach today shneihem kosher. So, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda says, "In the name of Rav Yochanan, such a get would be kosher." Alma kasav v'shtaim sheviu get me midinas yam mitzrichim sheyamer b'faneinu nechtav o b'faneinu nechtam. Now, at this point in time, it sounds like that even without saying anything, it would be sufficient. Meaning, without saying the magical words, b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. Or the Gemara has better grammar than I do, b'faneinu nechtav, or b'faneinu nechtav, they don't need to say that. And why would they need to say it? Meaning, right, our main concern is Rava, that the whole reason why we're saying it is for the purposes of Kiyum Shtar. We have two valid witnesses right now who are designated to deliver the get, and they're going to validate the document. So why should they have to say it? So ain't tzrichim she'omer b'faneinu nechtam, b'faneinu nechtam. Amar le'abaya le'miata. Sefer diktani, so Abaya says, okay, let's go on in the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah then go on to say? Shtaim omer b'faneinu nechtam, ve'echer omer b'faneinu nechtam, where two people say that it was written in front of us. And then another person says that it was signed in front of me. Puzzle. Rav Yehuda Machshir. And Rav Yehuda says in such a scenario it would be kasher. Taim adena get yotzei mitachas yedei shneihem. Now, the reason why the Tanakhama over there says it's no good is because these two were not the deliverers of the get. Ha get yotzei mitachas yedei shneihem mechasher rabbanan. Now, if these two were delivering the get, so then the get would be fine. So, but at the same time, they're also saying b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. Amar le'in. So the response is, yeah, you're right. It would be fine. V'chi ain't get yotzei mitachas yedei shnei mamai pligi. So the Gemara says, so now, if they're both not the designated deliverer of the get, so then, what's the debate between the Tanakama and Rav Yehuda? Mar Savar Gazrin and Doma Asya Lachlufa Bikim Shtaras Da'ama Be'ed Echad Umar Savar Lo Gazrinan. And the problem becomes the following. You're right. Inherently, independently, this case by itself would have been fine. Meaning, what's the problem over here? Two people were there present for the writing of the get. One person was there for the Chasimah Saget. So you have nechtav b'fanenu, you have nechtam b'fanenu. The problem is that once again, the casual observer sees what's going on. What is going on? We have a scenario over here in which one person saying, it was just signed in front of me. Oh, that's interesting. One person now is testifying that he saw the signature of the witnesses and the Beis Din is now moving forward. And they're authenticating and they're certifying the document. Oh, it must be that certification of a document can be done by one witness. You see, as we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, when I have one person say, b'fanei nechtav u b'fanei nechtam, so that tips everybody off that that's strange and that's unusual. Because he's saying it was written and signed in front of me. But over here, two are saying it was written in front of me, and then a third person by himself is saying it was signed in front of me. So now it may come out that this is such an unusual, that it's so not an unusual scenario that people may erroneously conclude that Kim could be done by one. Whereas according to Rav Yehuda, no, this is strange. It's strange enough. Right, what do we have over here? Three people coming in, two say it was written in front of me, one says it was signed in front of me. That's strange enough. No one's going to confuse this case with the standard case of b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam. Just do a little bit more. L'shna achrina, amri la, amri av Shmuel, bar Yehuda, amri av Yochanan, afilu get yotzei mitachas yedei shneihem, pasul. So here in the l'shna achrina, we're going to go in the other direction. We're going to say that it would be pasul if two were to deliver the get. Amakas av Hashem, shevi yegem em yedei shneihem, tzrichim shiyomer, b'fanei nechtam. Even when two are delivering the get, they need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. So amri la, abayi la miyata, sefer diktani shneihem, omrim b'fanei nechtam, v'echer omrim b'fanei nechtam, pasul rav Yehuda machshir, afilu get Even when the two are designated as shlichim, the chachamim are still going to pasar. Amar le'in, he says, yes, that's correct. So b'maikam eflugi, mar sava lefisha ein bekim l'shma, mar sava lefisha ein edem mitsuyim l'kaimo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what's at odds over here, the issue over here is, what is the purpose of saying b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? Is it for the purposes of kiyum, or is it for the purposes of l'shma? All right, let's pause over here. I know we're in the middle of the sentence. It just goes on. We'll continue tomorrow with this discussion of confusion between this versus other cases of Kiyum Shtaras. So again, let's quickly recap. We spent the first part of the morning discussing using different methods of certification. Meaning, one method is to have two witnesses testify. A second method is using the special dispensation of Mefanei Nechtam, Mefanei Nechtam. Can I combine the two? So various versions of Amoraim, Rav Chista, Rava, Rav Ashi, all giving their opinion in terms of what is combinable versus what is not combinable. As long as we got into the discussion of Itztarfus, so the Gemara then applied that question to other areas of Halacha. 5 and 5 for Rishus HaYachid on Shabbos, washing your hand half a hand at a time. The question of showering and bathing half of your body after a mikvah, are the two going to combine in order to pasul? Takanas Ezra, tishikabin on half your body, mikvah the other half of the body, is that going to combine? So various questions of Itztarfus, most of them the Gemara left unresolved. And then we had our Mishnah about multiple shlichim. Rav Yochanan has two versions. The first version, multiple shlichim, don't have to say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtav. And the second version, Rav Yochanan, multiple shlichim, do have to say b'fanei nechtav, or b'fanei nechtav. And tomorrow, we pick it up with the second version of Rav Yochanan.